702.
Let's walk the talk on 92.7
and 106 FM.
Tesha, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to 702.
Thank you, Thabo. I appreciate it.
It's a very difficult subject to deal with because there are a whole lot of sensitivities that one has to take into consideration. But if you don't mind, just give us a picture, Tesha, about where we are, and not just as far as numbers are concerned, but the impact of this societally as well.
Yes, of course. You mentioned earlier the National Human Trafficking Hotline, which is an amazing tool that all of us need to be aware of. So that is our hotline of South Africa. And according to one of their recent statistics, they've actually showed that 3,600 possible human trafficking cases were dealt with by them alone. And 79% of those were, in fact, human trafficking cases, and that includes children. And then we also see that South Africa actually stands at number 7 globally when it comes to the kidnapping scale, which of course also includes human trafficking cases. So 7th globally is quite extreme. And in a recent South African report, we've also seen that 60%, in fact over 60% of child trafficking victims are in fact South African. So this is a phenomenon that is just continuing to grow. And unfortunately, the realities with stats, it's statistics can never be 100% accurate.
Yeah.
Especially with human trafficking, because human trafficking is known to be a hidden crime. So much of it happens behind doors. So much of it is overshadowed by other crimes, such as, for instance, the drug trade and so forth. And in South Africa, what we also see is most of the trafficking cases, especially when it comes to children, happen from the rural areas to the urban areas. So we must always also remember that when it comes to human trafficking, that transportation is not a prerequisite. We often make that mistake. But according to the South African legislation, a victim does not need to be transported in order to be a victim of human trafficking. And I'm pointing that out because it's so important for us as society to know the facts so that we can identify possible human trafficking victims. We have children, for instance, that are being prostituted out of their own homes by parents or caregivers, and that is, according to our South African legislation, a form of human trafficking. So just a point to always remember.
I was just about to ask, and as you mentioned that point, that before moving away from the statistics, the International Organization for Migration report in 2017, as you would know it far better than I would, I mentioned that 41% of children were trafficked by family members. And I was saying, and I was just thinking, how complicated does it even make it for detection and for deterrence? Because it appears as though those very close to those children often become their enemies.
Yes, most definitely. So we cannot teach our children, whether it's our own or the children around us or the children that we work with or the children in our communities, we cannot teach them stranger danger, because that is no longer the case. As you say correctly, yes, most of the perpetrators, not just with children, but in general with human trafficking victims, are people that are either family or family friends. So we have to actually teach our children about what is a safe person and what is a non-safe person, what is a safe situation and what is a dangerous situation. And so one of the ways in which we can help combat this is for it to for us to go into the schools with the various programs. And we are even trying to encourage government to make human trafficking a subject in schools, because it is so vast, in order to equip our children to stay safe.
And Tesha, What does the law say about this? Is it extremely clear when you report the issue of child trafficking that the police would be able to point it to charge 36 or 41 and say, this is exactly this, and I know what this means, and these are the next steps? I'm trying to draw a bridge between the happening itself and the authorities taking action about it, because often at times when parents or concerned individuals go to report these issues, they would say that they're not getting adequate help.
All right. Yes, unfortunately, that is a problem. There are cases where we find, where many NGOs in South Africa find that they have to actually educate the authorities, the police, and so forth. And there are programs that had been developed in order to do that. Because, yes, it does happen that police, for instance, are not adequately informed. But a very simple way of describing or summarizing what our legislation says. To answer your question, yes, our legislation is very, very clear on exactly what human trafficking is. We have the PACOTIP Act, the Prevention and Combating of Trafficking in Persons Act of South Africa. In fact, it is actually globally recognized as one of the best anti-trafficking legislations globally. However, it needs to be implemented and used correctly. But within that act, to summarize it, it's very simple. A trafficking situation is identified as follows. It happens when a person is either forced, tricked, or coerced into a situation for the use of their body or for the use of their labor. Now, that's a very simple way of remembering and would help us as just a normal person on the streets to identify possible human trafficking. So it is basically exploiting a person's vulnerability.
We've spoken about the involvement of some family members in some situations. Let's go outside the home now. The motivations that you've just mentioned, drug trafficking, sexual abuse and other forms, and in the South African context and others, you may even add multi killings and so on. One would think, why would the external players outside the family target children in particular? Is there a strong motivation for children? And I'm confining it to children because of the topic at hand. And I understand the problem is far bigger. It's human trafficking, but putting a spotlight on children, is it because they're more vulnerable or children can easily be pliable to instructions?
Oh, yes, most definitely. They are our most vulnerable. And the sad thing about human trafficking, especially when it comes to the sex trade, for instance, with sex trafficking, what is so attractive to traffickers is that a trafficking victim is not consumable. A trafficking victim can be used over and over again. And that is very beneficial, and that is, where they make their money within the sex trafficking industry, for instance. And with our children, I mean, they're young, they're vulnerable. The fear is instilled into them much easier, for instance. They do not know necessarily how to communicate what is being done to them or what's happening, and they don't know where to go or what to do. So unfortunately that is the case. And then we also see, unfortunately, that muti organ harvesting and body part harvesting is also quite a popular phenomenon when it comes to our children.
It's 18 minutes after 10 o'clock. You're on 702. If you've just joined us, welcome. We are speaking to Tertia de Klerk, Community Manager at National Freedom Network. We are looking at the matter of child trafficking in South Africa. This is obviously on the back backdrop of a number of issues that have been playing themselves out in our country and beyond, where children disappear, children are kidnapped, children are killed for one reason or the other, and children are being trafficked. And we are putting a spotlight on this matter and appealing to everyone else to be vigilant. And also, if you've got a situation that you know of, please give us a shout. We'd love to hear about your experiences. Maybe Tesha will be able to reflect and shed some light on your matter. Of course, we can't have a box of solutions for every single thing, but maybe through our interactions, we can be able to help one another as a community of South Africa, as concerned individuals. Maybe you know of something. And you're just doubting yourself and you're second guessing yourself and you don't think that this is trafficking. Give us a shout. Give us a call. And Tesha will be able to help one way or the other. 011-883-0702. 011-883-0702. It could also be that, I hope not, but it could be that perhaps you have experienced this in your proximity and you don't know who to speak to and you need help for yourself, for your mental health. Feel free to call us. And this is truly a safe space where we can touch on these things. It won't be easy. I can't promise that it will be easy, but I can promise that we'll try to navigate around the issue to find some sort of fruitful solution. 011-883-0702. If you'd like to send a text message, feel free to do that on 072-702-1702. Tesha, a lot of children, as we know, attend schools in South Africa, and we are all concerned. We put children in the Ubers. Some children walk home for distances. What can be said about the mobility of children from home to school or from wherever, from home to wherever? What do we know about unattended children, or is it specifically about targeted children?
No, it's not mostly about targeted children. Traffickers go out on the prowl and they look for, as we earlier said, the most vulnerable. So as we know, obviously children are the most vulnerable, but they will go look out for the children that are walking all by themselves, the children that seem to be very oblivious about, you know, their surroundings, maybe walking with headphones or you know, listening or talking on their phones or listening to music. So whatever makes you an easy target, that would be what they would go for. Traffickers do not like to make their jobs more difficult. So obviously they have become you know, traffickers that are working smarter instead of harder. So what I also just want to add to that is what's very important is that when our children travel, we have to just communicate with them, you know, about the dangers out there and that they shouldn't, under any circumstances, walk alone. They shouldn't take shortcuts. They shouldn't walk through dark alleys and so forth. And there should be a curfew of what time they should be home, etc. And if they ever feel unsafe or maybe feel that someone's following them or anything like that, they can go to a stranger. They can go to the first person that they see. We've seen in most cases that the strangers are the ones that have been helping many of these children. So that's also very important, because I know it's so difficult when it comes to traveling and so forth. It is not possible for all parents to be around their children and for helping them get to school and back. So it's basically just teaching them those basic safety measures that is very, very important. Just being, they need to be vigilant and they need to just be together, you know, walk in groups and travel in groups.
Sure. Very quickly on X, Party Gogo says, Okay, that's a different one altogether. We'll get back to that in a short while. 011-883-0702. Let's go straight to Refilwe in Joburg. Refilwe, hi, welcome.
Good morning. It's Refilwe and Tefe. I just wanted to say I give a lot of talks in crashes at schools, high schools, on human trafficking. If I can just impart maybe two quick things that parents can look out for. Usually we put our children's names on the school bags. And it's very easy for a very young child, especially when the school bag is facing the back where the label is. Don't do that as parents. Because a child of about 4 or 5, when they hear Refilwe or Thabo, they think this person knows me and says, let's walk together, and then the child is being trafficked. That's one thing. The other thing that I teach parents when I give my talks is, when you have a child who gets picked up maybe by you or transport, teach your child a password. Like my boys, our password is one of our favorite books where they were reading as kids. So when somebody comes and it's not me or their transport picking them up from school, they'll say, I hear you, Malume Thabo, that you're coming to pick me up, but what's the password? And if you cannot give the password, they must run to the teacher and say, I know this person, but they don't know the password. So I don't know if my mom or my dad has given them the instruction to pick me up. Because that's also how we can start educating our children to be aware that people that we even know, sometimes you don't give Malume the permission to get your child, and that's how the child will get trafficked if the child is just really maybe going with them. I just thought, this is actually, there's a lot I could give you.
Yeah.
But those two things are so important that we don't label our children's school bags where a trafficker can see the name. And then we have a password so that the child must phone and run to the teachers, maybe confirm with the parent that there's Malume Thabo trying to pick up the child, and then they say, okay, I forgot to give them the password, but at least there's a checkpoint.
Definitely.
Before the child is removed from the school environment.
Refilwe, that was extremely useful. I'll go back to Tesha in a short while, but first, Fadia in Pretoria. Hi, Fadia.
Hi, morning. I just want to make a quick comment.
Fadia, try again. We lost you for about 2 seconds. Please try again.
I just want to make a quick comment.
Sure.
I once spoke to a Nigerian guy, and he told me they are being paid 75,000 rand by Chinese nationals. They kidnap these children, and they take them to China, and the children are being worked on the farms. And from South Africa, they are being transported by containers on a ship. And they are transported in those containers. No one even knows there's children in there. And then they get sent to China, and they actually use them to work on the farms because they believe something about having young children to work on the farms, you can make the crop grow well, and things like that. That's all I can say.
Okay.
That's my comment.
Okay, Fadia, thanks very much for that. Tesha, I suspect there are other number of conspiracies, but also truths in various, but you know best, without obviously alienating a group of people against the other. But do we have typical situations where you have perpetrators taking children for a certain use?
Oh, yes, most definitely. That definitely does happen. We see that two of the most frequent forms of human trafficking when it comes to children is definitely sex trafficking and labor trafficking. So that is most definitely true. However, I want to just point out what's very, very important for us to always keep in mind is, yes, there are cases where there are containers of people that are being shipped across the border and so forth. However, we must always remember that that makes out a very, very small percentage of human trafficking cases that actually happen around us. Most of the human trafficking cases that happen around us are actually happening right next door to us, in our community, down the streets. It can even be someone that works in a cell phone shop, for example, who was trafficked from his country into our country. So in many cases, we actually,
even communicate with trafficked victims, and we don't even realize. And those are the biggest and most vast number of trafficking victims. So I don't want to play down those are being shipped, but just to remember that we must not be sidetracked by those extreme cases, because we can be blinded and not notice the many victims that we're surrounded with. And the lady that phoned in, the first lady that spoke, I'm very, very grateful for her for doing children. Yes. So the advice she was giving is excellent and very good. And I just want to add to that, you know, when it comes to social media, as proud parents, we don't always realize that the photographs that we are taking can give away a personal information. So we need to be very, very careful. You know, we can take a photograph of our child in their new school uniform. It gives away their school. Maybe something in the background gives away an address. I see often that parents post the children's name. She was also mentioning the name and even their siblings' names or other family members' names. Now, traffickers, as I mentioned earlier, they work smarter. So it's much easier for them to sit in front of a computer or laptop and go through social media and find these easy targets. So as parents and as family members of children, we just need to be much wiser and very careful in what we post on social media.
Mm. Tesha, I can't thank you enough for your time, but before I say goodbye to you, please give us your contact details at National Freedom Network.
Okay. I can certainly do that. So people are more than welcome to make contact with me if they have any questions or anything that I can maybe assist them with or guide them with or refer them to someone else. The number is 082-766-9870. And then now also give our national human trafficking hotline number, please.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. 0800-222-777. So that's a toll-free number. And you also mentioned very kindly, and I really appreciated that, that people can make contact, you know, if they may be in a situation or, you know, unsure of anything. And one can phone that number even anonymously and report a possible situation. So the emphasis on possible. You don't have to be sure. The people on the other line, on the other side, will be able to identify. So it's 0800-222-777, a very important number to memorize.
Thanks for your time and insights, Tesha de Klerk, Community Manager at National Freedom Network, 29 to 11.